Ruth Coghill with Empowering Others Through God's Word. My life has been changed, renewed, challenged, and encouraged by the power of God's love letter, the Bible. It has the answer to my deepest longings. My friends, I want you to experience this transformation too, as we go deeper into the written word of God. Welcome to Season 3. The first 5 podcasts will focus on biblical Esther and the very practical truths from this historical narrative. The following 5 podcasts will focus on what Scripture reveals to us about suffering, a very timely topic as we navigate life in our very troubled world. You won't want to miss a single episode. Now, let's tune in to today's podcast.
Hey, Ruth, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Can you believe that we are on our 5th podcast and we still have so much more to say, don't we?
We certainly do. And there's so much scripture that we want to dive into today, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Because our question that we want to look at today is, where does God fit into my suffering? And in our earlier podcasts, we've mentioned scripture every time. And God fits into this picture of suffering. And unless we have a picture of how he fits in, I don't think we'll ever really be able to endure our suffering the way he intended it. And that sounds really like the onus is on God.
But that's what, I mean, honestly, when we enter suffering, we also can enter a lament. And that's what happens, is we are calling out to God, because God is the one with all the answers, not us.
That's right. Totally.
So it's a beautiful place of connection, isn't it?
That's why we are doing these podcasts, so that we have an understanding that God does have the answers. And I often mention the fact that my mom used to say, the Bible has the answer to everything. And, you know, it was easy to believe that as a little girl because, you know, you trust everything your mom says. Then as a teenager, it's like, oh, yeah, right. That doesn't work.
But it's true. You know, even with my kids, I'll say, well, what does God's word say? And how often do we just get bent a little bit and not look at what God's word says? It has all the answers.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're pertinent for right now.
They are pertinent. And that's why we're so passionate to do these podcasts on suffering, mm-hmm. because we have listened. We have observed that even believers in Jesus Christ, even followers of Jesus Christ, are confused about suffering and really do not grasp that there is a purpose in it. And it's not just to make us better or to make us good. It's to bring glory to God in the
end.
It
absolutely is. And to make us more like his son, which
That's
brings
right.
glory to God, right?
That's right.
And follow his will for our lives, not our own will. And that's a hard part when we have to give up our own will, our own hopes and our own desires. We talked about that, Ruth, when you said, you know, you had plans to buy. We have plans sometimes. This is how our path is going to go. But God has a different plan for us than we often think we do ourselves. So in God's plan for us, we fulfill his will for us, not our own. That's a surrender, isn't it?
Totally, totally. And in answering the question, where does God fit into our suffering? I'm going to read from Hebrews. This passage, the 12th chapter, the first 3 verses. This is a pertinent verse for you that are suffering, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual. But listen to these words from Hebrew. This is from the NIV, the 84 edition, year 84. And it reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What a powerful scripture. And I think it's really important that we don't just start with fixing our eyes on Jesus, because that's where we end up. But the first part, to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned.
Right. We talked about this just last time. You know, it's easy to be called out of to hear a calling outside of God's blessing, the realm of his blessings, and become disobedient.
And hearing that voice, and you've shared this so beautifully in your personal story, is there's a time to say why. And have the self-pity, but self-pity needs to have an expiry date.
Yes, that's a good one.
You need to have maybe a 20-minute or a half an hour or maybe even a day that you lament and you question and continue to question God and why you're suffering in whatever area it is. But then what about taking a turn and then saying, what can I learn, or how can I grow? How can I be more like Christ? How can I see his promises fulfilled to me while I'm going through this season of suffering? What do you think, Cindy? Would you say that you've experienced that? Because I know that you asked why. You had a lot of reason to ask why. But
well,
you came to the place.
Absolutely. And even I think I asked why. I still ask why sometimes. I mean, that's a lament, isn't it? A why, God? Why do I have to go through yet something else?
Yes.
I've had a few people say to me, oh, you're going through something else. I thought I'd say, I'm being refined again. I'm being refined again. And they'd say, haven't you been refined enough? Have we ever been refined enough? No, we haven't. And so in those moments of pain, I would ask why. Even after I became a Christian and I was faced with some very, very serious health challenges, I would say, why, Lord? What can I do? How can I understand what you want of me? But before that happened, I remember feeling like these moments of, God, I thought you said you'd never leave me and forsake me. You are so faithful. Why aren't you being faithful in not giving me trials? And it dawned on me as I said those words and I thought those words and my heart felt those words, I thought, oh, Cindy, how faithful are you to him? How faithful are you to him? And I thought, you know, we look at these words that say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But in our humanity, we often step out and leave him and forsake him and become unfaithful to him. So when we're sitting there in that place of suffering, we can call out and say, I am going to try to be as faithful as I can to you and allow you to shape me into the image that you want me to be. Romans 8:29. He allows these things. He takes things that are not great, suffering and trials, and turns them into something good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:29 says he does this so that we will be more like the image of his son.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's the glory. That's the final purpose, is to bring glory to the Father through the Son. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Wow.
You know, there's something beautiful as well, Ruth, when we sit in that place of suffering. And you talked about this last session, and we talked about, you know, have somebody to come alongside you, to be with you. Oftentimes, as an amputee or somebody who's faced traumatic suffering, I mean, there's a difference with suffering from trauma than, you know, self-inflicted suffering and different sufferings. Well, suffering from trauma is one. You're always recommended to find someone who has been through something similar. And I believe the same applies to when we're looking for someone to come alongside us. It so helps when we're suffering if we can find someone who has suffered as well. Because the beauty of finding someone who has also suffered is that you both come together, united as one, both having suffered, both having had endured the pain, looking to the cross, looking to the cross.
Totally.
Where you meet. And where do you meet? And who do you meet on the cross?
Yeah.
You meet Jesus and his suffering. And he is the healer. The great healer, the great overcomer. So there's a beauty in that space on the cross where two or more meat in pain and come to him. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
It totally is. And it helps us to understand that we are there to comfort those as we have been comforted in our time. And I love that you brought out about having someone. Again, we, the sick one, the suffering one, should be reaching out to the elders of the church. Yeah, if you're not involved in a church, some believers that you know, and ask them to come and pray for you and anoint with oil and let God do what he wants to do through your suffering.
And understand too, my sweet friends, that by asking them, you're giving them a gift. Because I remember I was in terrible pain once, and it was so much snow in our area. We get so much snow, feet of snow. And I was grocery shopping, and I was pushing my cart out of the grocery store. And there was a sweet older gentleman, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, can I help you push your cart?" Because I was struggling. Imagine trying to push a cart through a foot of slush and snow with no hands and feet. And and I thought at first, you know, there was that instant moment, no, I don't need help. But I said yes, and I believe it was the Lord who prompted me to, because when that man took hold of my cart, the smile on his face as he walked it to the car for me, so well, I knew in that moment that I was giving him a gift. It wasn't the other way around. And so when we come and ask for help, and that's what we're doing, we're saying, ask for help, ask for prayer. Go to your elders, ask for prayer. And, you know, we help each other often. I mean, we're good friends, Ruth. We come alongside each other in much of our suffering. You know, there's a gift that's given.
Yeah.
Don't forget that you are a gift giver as well.
It's interesting because our pride, your pride almost kept you from getting what you needed and that gentleman from what he needed. Mm-hmm. And again, this is functioning as the body of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Many parts working together to bring the whole body to its perfection, which we'll never see perfection on this earth. But if we as believers, if we can grasp this concept of if you are a hand or a finger or an arm, or whatever body part you are, function with the other person that has the complementary body parts. It all works together according to Scripture. He's provided these answers for us.
And that's how we work. That's exactly it, Ruth. That's how we work united. And I want to take a moment and speak to those who could be listening who don't know the Lord. And you're wondering, so I've been suffering, and I hear you talking to me so much about God's word. How do I find a way to him? And I just want to encourage you to reach out to him. I mean, really, in order to find him, we just simply come before him and we say and recognize that we are sinners. It goes back to the garden.
Yes.
We are sinners. I often say, you know, I didn't see myself as a sinner. I did things like I lied and I took things that might not have been mine. And still, I didn't see that as a sinner until I found the Lord and recognized that those are sins and that we needed someone to pay the price for those sins. And so Jesus went to the cross to pay the price. So if you know that and you recognize it, you become in Christ. I think it's really important that people recognize you don't have to come to him perfect. In fact, he wants you to come to him broken and fallen apart. And don't get yourself together. Don't wait. Don't do it now. Come to him now. So we've covered so much, Ruth, on suffering. And I think we've really shown the importance of keeping our eyes upon Jesus, haven't we? We've talked about the different questions that we ask when we're in suffering. And we've talked about a little bit about lamenting. And a lament is crying out to God and asking him what to do. Why is it happening? So my friends, as we start to look towards the next steps of our podcast, I want to leave, we would like to leave a piece of scripture with you. As you hear these words, I just encourage you, not if you're driving, to close your eyes and to come to that place where Jesus is on the cross. And this is from 1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. There we are, Ruth. Our suffering is to become who God needs us to be and under his will.
Well, our suffering, it's a mystery with some answers, but not with all the answers before eternity. Would you agree? Because we can cover those five questions, but there still is a mystery why some people suffer more than others. Some people just seem to have more than their share of suffering. But often you will find that those people, and I'm thinking of the likes of Corrie ten Boom and Johnny Erickson Tata, who have had their lives turned upside down with suffering. And yet, we have learned so much. They have become our mentors, and we have learned so much from them.
So, as Words to Inspire helps you to dive into suffering so that you can shine on through that suffering and forward, we look forward to sharing with you next time. See you soon.